Welcome back to Truvon Talks. It's the new year.
Yes, 2026. Here we go.
We're gonna give you guys a great series to finish part two of the Fawning podcast and what that is and what it how it impacts you.
Yeah.
And we're excited.
Absolutely. So on our in part one of three on our mini series about fawning, we talked about, like what fawning is, what it looks like, how it shows up day to day in relationships. And today we're going to dive into the link between fawning and CPTSD, which is complex PTSD, right? And how fawning is actually like a trauma response, right? That's cr developed to pr you know as a nervous system response when we experience trauma, typically in childhood or early relationships. So Linda, would you do our listeners a favor and kind of explain what exactly CPTSD is?
It's a reoccurring abuse that's either emotional, physical, or sexual, that maybe, a trauma is anything like I've been in a car accident to I went to war and I saw people die on the battlefield is post-traumatic stress disorder. So I think differentiating the two is important.
Right. Yeah.
Complex is an ongoing, reoccurring experience
Yes.
that you cannot physically remove yourself from due to your age or, you're being threatened with your life in some way.
Absolutely. It's chronic and it's repeated over a long period of time, months or years, right? And it's typically relational, right? I like the difference that you shared, like traditionally, when people think of a trauma, it's like boom, like one big event, right? Where now, whereas complex is lots of events over and over and over again over time, right? Such as like an emotionally neglectful or abusive parent that's really mean or hateful.
And that regarding the author we discussed, and I'll pull up her book because I want to also give her the reference there, give her the reverence, is that Dr. Ingrid Clayton, Fawning, Fawning, Fawning. And she was being groomed by her stepfather, and it was very disgusting, very horrifying. She was taken to Vegas, dressed up like she was his girlfriend. There was just so many things happening. And she avoided the actual trauma of the sexual, as I understand it, is just this ongoing thing where you feel gross, but there's nothing you can do.
Yes, right. I think this is a good segue into how the fawning develops in this like chronic repetitive situation, right? It's because when we think of those nervous system responses, fight, flight, freeze, right? And now, like what we're discussing is fawning. Fighting, running away, and freezing aren't an option.
There it is.
That's
Bingo.
how the fawning, right? In this situation, like the example you're giving with her stepdad, fighting was not safe, fleeing was not safe, and freezing was not safe. So what other choice did she have? To stay
Acquiesce.
safe. Exactly. Yeah.
What does this person want from me? What do they desire? Well, this feels uncomfortable, but what else am I going to do?
Yeah. So it's literally a survival strategy that is learned in an unsafe environment.
Thank you. Yes, an unsafe environment for
Yeah.
which you have no control. You can't drive.
Yeah.
You're a kid.
You have no way to escape,
The neighbors don't care,
If you run away, where are you going to go? Like, how are you going to get fed? How are you going to have find shelter? Like,
And sometimes they get gaslit in the system. So you tell your counselor at school or your CPS worker, and they're like, well, there's no bruises. There are no bruises.
Yeah.
And then
There's no physical proof.
right.
So many people fall through the cracks, unfortunately. It's so
A
sad.
lot.
Yeah.
So then you get reinforced that society is there's no help.
No
There's no
one's coming to
Batman.
save me. I've
There's
got
no
to save
Batman dressed.
myself.
You gotta save yourself.
Right? And the way I learn how to stay safe in an unsafe relational environment is to adapt and appease and prioritize others, right? Because that helps me stay safe and connected. And thus the fawn response is born.
There it is. Acquiesce, bring pleasure and comfort to the person that or persons that are abusing you, which gives you this sense of, I don't matter. I don't matter. What they need matters more than what I need. So, yeah.
If you, when you learn, like, whenever I assert my needs or I share my emotions, that triggers rejection, anger, abandonment. Like, that is not safe. Those are basic emotional needs that every human being has.
You're right.
And so we begin to, and we talked about this a little bit, I think, in the part one episode, right? Like we begin to slowly abandon parts of ourself. It like slowly chips away at our self-concept. Who am I? What do I want? Like we start to lose that in a fawn response.
But in the word that came up, Rachel, was differentiate. As you know, how you as a child you're in that phase of differentiation from the parent. Well, who am I apart from this person? Well, you just learn, oh, okay, I'm not a separate entity. I exist for their pleasure, their comfort, their needs. So your personhood gets enmeshed.
Yes, that's the exact word I was thinking of, enmeshment.
What happens in enmeshment? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, it's kind of like carrying off of what you were saying, your identity or self-concept does not get developed. And so it's like you only exist, kind of like in conjunction to or in service of this other person. You don't know, like there's no boundaries.
So you're just existing to meet whatever need they have. So if they love chocolate, you love chocolate. If they want to go to the park, you go to the park, even if you don't want to go to the park. If they want beef for dinner every night, who cares if you want salmon? You're going to acquiesce and give in to that person's needs. And the identity is lost. Person in these types of enmeshment.
And
Fine.
so exactly, yeah. And so, if you've grown up in this very chaotic environment, right, with unsafe relationships to primary caregivers, and you've developed CPTSD, which is actually, I think we should share, not in the DSM. It's not an official diagnosis
That's
yet,
true.
correct?
That's true.
But it is very common kind of like phrase, and it's based in, it's scientifically based. They tried to put it in the DSM, but I think it was like a little political stuff going on, as there usually is, and it didn't get in there. So fingers crossed for the future, because I think it's a legit, term. I think it would be a legit diagnosis for people, but it's not yet.
Yeah, and that's what that girl I sent you that YouTube video this morning. She was saying a lot of symptoms like IBS, the fibromyalgia, chronic pain, are all associated with the fawn response.
And complex PTSD. It's amazing. Every client I've ever worked with that would fall under this category of CPTSD typically has
You got
issues internally with
it.
pain, you know, and yeah.
Yeah, that's their body keeping score.
The trauma is, yeah, stored in their body. Yeah.
Suppressed resentment.
Yeah. Needs, emotions. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm resentful that I feel like I don't have any identity in this world other than to please you. But the pleasing. Now, ChatGPT did a great job of distinguishing between pleasing, people pleasing, and fawning. It says,
Oh,
can I read
good.
that to you?
Please do, because I think that would be incredibly helpful
Yeah,
for
because
people to
I
hear.
know
It is not the same thing.
we were using a little exchange. What's the word? I forget.
I know what you mean, though. I can't think of the word either. Kind
Right.
of like
We
synonymously or
interchangeably.
interchangeably. Yeah.
There we go. Interchangeably. People pleasing is a behavior. Fawning is a survival state. People pleasing can be turned off with insight, mindsight, like Dr. Dan Siegel says. And fawning requires the nervous system safety, not willpower.
There we
ChatGPT.
go. There we go.
So if I recognize that I'm just doing things to please people or get them to do something or whatever, I can change that behavior. But if I feel like if I say no, you're going to leave me, that's
That's
trauma.
fawning. That's a trauma response. Okay.
So I like that differentiation
Yeah, the
there.
differentiation is like if you're doing it out of trying to remain safe, right? If it's linked to your safety, you know, and self-protection, it's a fawn response, it's a trauma response.
Case in point, when I was a kid, there was this old man in this old church back in the woods. Okay, case in point. He smelt of alcohol and he would overly hug my sister and I and try to pull us in really close. I got the ick feeling then. And he was just somebody that came there. He was nobody, you know, nobody knew him. And he did this to many of the young girls. And I pulled away pretty quick because something about that felt ick.
Yeah.
Now, the fawn responds, maybe I had more sense of identity as a kid. I just thought, this doesn't, or I just was intuitive.
Yeah. Highly sensitive person. Yeah.
And so I pulled away.
Good.
So a fawner might just let or allow for this hug to prolong because maybe they would fear retaliation from this person.
Yeah. Right. It's, that's not a character flaw. Let's be clear
No.
about that. You
No.
know, that means this is nothing bad about you if you engage in people pleasing or if you have a not like knee-jerk fawn response, right? This is a trauma response. We want to respect it first because
Yep.
this is your nervous system doing exactly what it's supposed to do, protect you at all costs, right? So you needed this to stay safe or you wouldn't have developed it, you know? So this is no judgment whatsoever
Nothing.
when we're
No.
talking about examples and you know all of this information, just to
Yeah.
be clear.
Because maybe 5 years later, I wouldn't have. I may have allowed it.
Yeah,
You know,
so
depending on the amount of trauma, you know.
exactly. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you have CPTSD, right, and your trauma response is fawning, here are some things that you're going to experience. Extreme emotional dysregulation. It's going to be incredibly hard to manage your feelings. You might swing from like extreme anger to sadness, right? And then
Oh.
just be like, ugh, like exhausted and kind of calm again. Like,
Yeah, that's so true, Rachel. Like you're just gonna feel as soon as you start to feel safe, you might feel happy. And then there's a micro expression on someone that reminds you of your abuser, and boom, out of the gate, you're back
yeah.
to fawning.
Any sense of
What can I
perceived
do?
rejection, abandonment. Yeah.
Yeah, any of those things. Yeah.
Negative self-concept. You're going to feel a lot of shame, guilt, worthlessness. You do
Yeah.
not view yourself as good in any form because you haven't had the opportunity to develop a sense of self.
True, true.
Your entire identity has been, how can I serve others? What am I useful for?
I'm a tool. I feel like a tool.
Right?
Yeah.
You've never had the experience of someone loving and accepting you for who you are, what you're interested in. You never had someone just cherishing you and delighting in just what you enjoy.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It's absolutely needed. Yeah.
And that's what Rachel does for her clients, you guys. She makes them feel seen and heard.
I hope so. That is the
Yeah.
goal. That's what I want.
It's good.
Right.
And that's the nervous system. Is that kind of where we're at on that? It's like we're talking about the hyper attunement to others' moods, needs.
Yes, hypervigilance,
Yeah.
right? People always say, I am so exhausted. And I'm like, yes, you are. Yes, you are exhausted because you are constantly on edge watching all those. You use the term micro expressions. You notice which direction people's eyes are looking, like the slightest furrow of a brow. The quiet
True.
sigh, that
Yes. Yeah.
everything you notice, every
Everything.
tiny body language and signal that every person in the room is displaying.
Case in
That's
point.
exhausting.
Yes,
Right.
it's so
Goodness.
exhausting. Oh,
Oh.
let me tell you, because I'm hypervigilant due to a chaotic upbringing. So when I had class, right?
Yeah. Oh,
All my
wow.
students, I had 65 students in the classroom.
Wow.
About 10 weeks in, I noticed some different faces. 65 people pegged the kid. Said, who are you? And everyone looks at me and I look at them. It's like, I know all your faces. And they're he says, well, I'm actually just her boyfriend. I'm sitting in. Now, that's crazy. Because I was like
Wow.
shocked at myself. I didn't even know how did I
Yeah.
know? He didn't
Yeah.
belong there.
That's
And I knew it.
amazing.
I knew it. And everybody's looking at me and I was like, I don't know how I know this.
Wow.
Should have been in the FBI, I guess. I don't know. I was just kind of, but that's it. That's
Yeah.
hyper vigilant.
Hypervigilance.
Now is
Being aware.
that keeps you safe?
Yes, it does. Right? You
I knew
notice
they didn't
something was
belong.
off, something was different. Yeah, you're not usually here, right? That's sketchy. Courtney,
Overwhelming, but it's
what
sketchy.
are you doing here? I'm just your boyfriend.
I'm just the boyfriend. I'm like, well, good. You're going to learn something today.
Oh, welcome.
I've never heard that. Like people just showing up with their partners or
It's
their.
becoming more and more common.
Yeah, I'm like, you can
Yeah.
sit in. That's
I've
cool.
People's significant others will come with them to therapy and just wait in the waiting area,
Good for
right?
them.
Or yeah, so they just want to spend time together. I think it's nice.
I do too. Then go get a Starbucks after.
Yeah, go to dinner, whatever.
That's hypervigilance. You're noticing. Yeah. And in our field, it's natural for counselors to be mindful and present. But yeah, so the fawn response is very exhausting. Just,
Yeah, it is exhausting.
yeah.
And it leads to problems like it difficulty setting boundaries and difficulty trusting people, right? And then obviously both of those things lead to having a hard time having healthy relationships, because those are kind of the foundation of a healthy relationship, boundaries and trust, right? Here's what I hear so often from folks that struggle with the fawn response is like, when it comes to boundaries, it's easier to not say no. It's easier to just go along with it,
Oh, yeah.
right? And I have to explain, it's hard both ways. It's hard to say no, and it's hard to go along with it. Right? You're not acknowledging the hard, right? That you're not acknowledging the hard that is in you never getting what you want, in you never being seen, because you're used to that. So when you say easier, I understand what you mean is it feels safer.
There it is. Saying yes feels safe versus saying no and protecting my inner
Feels
self.
unsafe.
Yeah.
But both are hard.
Well, yeah,
It
because then
is,
you're stuffing. Yeah.
it's hard living a life that isn't truly yours.
That's it. Truly
And
yours, Rachel.
that builds so much resentment towards
Yep.
people.
Oh yeah.
And in that resentment, you don't feel a genuine connection. You can't, because you're not being yourself, right? So it's like that you're longing for connection and to truly be seen and known and cherished, but that's not happening because you're not being yourself. You're being this version of a person that you think everyone wants you to be.
And you're a target for narcissist.
Yes.
Toxic behavior,
Yes.
yeah. Toxic relationships, yeah. Because a
Yeah.
narcissist loves someone who defers their own needs and sacrifices for
Yeah.
them
If your go-to
daily.
response is whatever works best for you, they're going to eat that up. That's what they want.
Now that's their trauma response, according to Brené Brown, though. Narcissism is a trauma response too.
I think
However,
so. Yeah.
yes, I agree. You agree with her on that? I do
I
too.
do.
Yeah. It's just a hyper behavior though that doesn't benefit anyone themselves or anyone around them. So
No. No.
and
Yeah.
narcissism is when you're self-absorbed and self-protecting overload. So people understand. I know we've talked about it on here, so
Sure.
when we want to speak
Yeah.
to any more parts of fawning, oh, they said emotional guilt when you prioritize yourself, which is what Miss Rachel was saying. Anxiety, fearful of saying no, good. Confusion about your needs. I like that one. How confused. You're like,
If you've
yeah.
done this your whole life since childhood, and most people have, when you are finally asked, what do you want? You have no idea. And that's so understandable. How could you? You've had no practice.
None.
You've had zero practice even considering what it is that you want. And how confusing and frustrating must that be for a person that's 20 or 30 or 40, plus years old, sitting there and having to accept and acknowledge, I don't even know what I want. I gotta kind of like grieve that and give it a moment. How sad.
Who was I? Who am I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well into their 50s. I have clients that have been fawning forever, you know. And finally, oh, I love it when they're like, you know what, Linda? Those people don't really care about me.
Bingo.
You were right. I'm like, I don't have to be right. That's the behavior you've been taught. Dismiss your own feelings to self-sacrifice for these people who don't care about you. That's hard to hear, isn't it?
So hard to hear,
Especially when it's a
especially
parent.
when I was going to say that same thing. Yeah, especially when it's a parent, someone that is supposed to love you unconditionally, and you learn that they've just been using you, right, to fulfill their own needs.
That's not
It's
okay.
that's crushing. No, it's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Grieve that. Grieve it. Grieve the little kid that didn't get to be their own self. And you know what? When that's true though, when they say, I don't know, I'm like, oh yeah, you don't know. You don't know what you wanted or needed. And I'm like, did anyone ever ask you, like a teacher, a counselor, hey, what do you want to be? Who do you aspire to be like? Or, you know, what is your true self love and enjoy? Most people haven't been asked that, Rachel. You
Yeah.
know? So when I ask the boys at the group home, who do you want to be? What do you envision yourself doing that sparks something inside? They're like, whoa. I never even really thought about it. Isn't
Yeah.
that sad?
So sad. No one has ever expressed genuine curiosity, as to who you are and what you want or what you need.
That's what we counselors do, why we love what we do.
Yeah.
So we want you all to tune in to the next one. Did I cover everything?
Yes, I think so, right? So this is the link between fawning and CPTSD and why it matters, right? And we're gonna next time talk about, like, where do we go from here, right? How do we heal from fawning?
And you're gonna be a top, like if you embrace this, you're gonna be a badass.
Yes, you are. You're gonna reclaim your voice. You're gonna set boundaries, right? You're gonna
Boom.
invent your authentic self
Yes.
and feel whole again. I really think the theme with people that I'm working with currently in therapy, it's like the intention or theme for 2026 is like a return to self for so many people, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Love it. We love it.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us be a part of it.
Yes. Oh, it's an honor, truly.
Yeah.
Such an honor.
Until we'll see you guys the next time.
Yes, for part 3 of 3. All right. Oh, everyone, take care.
Bye.
Bye.